Hey, everybody. You know, Mark and I have over 20 years of experience as therapists and as addicts in long-term successful recovery. We know better than anyone what works and what doesn't to break out of porn and sex addiction, heal betrayal trauma, and reclaim your relationship.
And we've poured all of our personal and professional recovery and healing experience into a first-of-its-kind program for addicts, spouses, and couples. We call it Dare to Connect.
At least four times every week, we engage with you in real time, in the trenches, giving you the knowledge and the tools to take back your life and relationship.
Whatever else you've done on your journey for healing and recovery, you've never done anything like this.
You know, Mark and I, we've made all the mistakes, so you don't have to. Don't reinvent the wheel.
We all know tomorrow never comes. Look, don't wait one more day to change. Claim your free two-week trial today at daretoconnectnow.com.
Hey, everybody. I'm Steve Moore.
And I'm Mark Castleman.
We know the pain and heartbreak of porn and sex addiction.
And we know the triumph of breaking completely free.
Every day, we help our clients find hope and healing.
Join us in the fight to take back your life, your marriage, and be stronger than ever.
This is the PBSC Squared Podcast.
Hard to believe that Thanksgiving is come and gone.
Oh my gosh.
As therapists and as we think about our own recoveries over the years and decades, what we do with clients this time of year, Thanksgiving week is sort of the portal to everything that's awesome and everything that's horrific, right? It's like you love the holidays and you hate the holidays, and now we're in them.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So we, as you and I were talking about this, we decided this month of December to do a three-part series about the holidays, and we're calling it Recovery, Healing, and the Holidays. And this is part one. And it's kind of a funny title to some people. You wouldn't think of the holidays, and then right after the holidays is damage control.
Yes, indeed.
But the holidays can be a really triggering time. And you and I have talked about, you know, that's not just from a negative standpoint, but it's also from a positive standpoint, that holidays can elicit really powerful emotions in us.
Absolutely.
Both from a positive and negative place. And so we're going to, in this podcast, we're going to talk about, you know, these triggers that can hit us and how we can prepare for them. And then once we are aware that they're there, what do we do with them? How do we manage them? So let's jump right into that. And in this part one episode and talk about these triggers, right? It's kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly, kind of like the Western.
No, absolutely. I love it. And we're going to be talking about, we'll be alluding to some of the other topics we're going to be covering in the next couple of weeks as we go through triggers. It's kind of hard not to. But just for those of, I mean, there are lots of topics we could have chosen to do around this time. And so Mark and I have tried to take, you know, kind of the big three, today being a focus on triggers. And then we'll be focusing a little more on, you know, maintaining self-care, you know, during the holidays, and then family dynamics a little bit later. So So we'll hit on all of those, because I know that those are all topics that too many of our clients and ourselves, you know, deal with on a regular basis during this time. So
family dynamics being triggers in the holidays? What are you talking about?
What? Nah. No, it's I told Brittany, it's funny what you said at the beginning there, because I have told Brittany that on more than one occasion in the past. It's just like there's a part of me at the end of the holidays that, you know, especially historically, that's just been like, oh, this was such a great time. and thank the good Lord that it's over, like all the same song, the same go. And so we want to help you guys to have a little bit less of that. So that's where we're going to, that will be the purpose of the next couple of weeks. Let's talk triggers. So the holidays, probably the first step with this is just to recognize that the holidays by their design are triggering for better and for worse, right? There's lots of, oftentimes we always, you know, the focus in counseling, we always talk about triggers in this negative light. You know, I was triggered into trauma, or I was, you know, triggered into acting out. But triggers aren't inherently positive or negative. There are lots of positive triggers out there as well. One among many that I would throw out there is, I think it's almost impossible for just about any of us who celebrate during this holiday season between Thanksgiving here in America and Christmas for those of us here locally and abroad, and you know, other holiday celebrations during this time as well, it's really difficult to not go through those celebrations or those experiences without also reflecting right on all the past ones that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
With family members, right, with friends, different. Oh, I was just up at a gathering with some close family, and we were talking about reminiscing about, you know, some of the customs that my grandparents used to do at the holidays. My grandma, she used to make these, we were talking about how we need to do it again. She had these ice cube trays that were in the shape of little Christmas trees.
Mm.
And she'd fill them with green food coloring, with the water. And so you'd be drinking your holiday whatever, and your drink would go green as it was going through. That was just one little weird little quirky thing. Whenever I see those, like it's a positively triggering memory.
Yeah.
I think about, you know, trying to beat out, see who could eat the most mashed potatoes with my cousin, or who could eat the most deviled eggs and not throw up, or, you know, whatever. So there are lots of positive triggers. However, that does come at the cost, right? There can be a lot of, just like we're reflecting on a lot of positive memories and a lot of good times. For too many of our listeners, for probably all of you out there, there have been too many hard holidays,
mm-hmm.
right? There's been a lot of pain. There's been a lot of hurt. And that doesn't just come from betrayal or from addiction necessarily, but there are a lot of sensitivities, again, involving things like family dynamics, involving other elements that can really, you know, environments, anything in the environment can be triggering. And so today is going to be kind of the main focus of that. I'll give you a quick example of what I mean by negative trigger. So this has happened like the last 3 or 4 years, ever since this story actually originated. But I was every year at some point, either on Thanksgiving or Christmas, we kind of alternate with my in-laws on, we will head up to a family cabin. And one such year, I wish it was more years ago, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. Fairly early into recovery, my wife and I had one of our most epic meltdowns ever on the drive up there. And I remember we were heading up there, and we pulled over in the Walmart parking lot and used all the wrong skills that we don't teach people to use. And
right, right.
My wife was doing her best to manage, but I was kind of in a drama place where, you know, Beverly Hills 90210 and Melrose Place had a love child. And so I was just kind of all over the place in the drama triangle. And long story short, it was a really, really rough Christmas. Like, we almost didn't even go up the canyon. We were just outside where the cabin is. And we almost didn't go because it was so hard. And every time I go up there, we went up there for this last Thanksgiving, I think about it every year.
Mm.
And it's always like a little, you know, there's like a mix. There's like a lot of gratitude, like, oh, I'm so glad we're not in that place anymore, or we don't do that. But then it causes me to reflect with a little bit of pain too, of how many Christmases did I ruin because of my thinking errors and my character defects associated with addiction?
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I had a similar situation with the holidays, especially Christmas, for a long time. I kind of like to call it the Marx bah humbug, you know, kind of this Scrooge scenario. And if anyone's familiar with the Christmas Carol and Scrooge, you know, is if you watch, as I watch that from the standpoint of a therapist, I look at all the the reasons why Scrooge is such a miserable, crotchety, you know, stingy, you know, negative man at Christmas time. And you can trace it back to his family of origin and all of his childhood experiences. But I developed that same kind of scenario as an adult with Christmas. So my family was weird. Christmas time was one of those few times that the family actually came together to be civil. Oh. Everyone would kind of guard their emotions and try to be nice to each other, right? This rare occasion where you would look at that. And one of the things about Christmas growing up as a kid is that my parents, my mother and stepdads that I had along the way, they kind of declared Christmas as the time to make up for all of the crappy stuff that had happened during the year. And the way they did that was material. And so it was this showering of presents upon the presents. Regardless of how the financial straits you were in, how poor you were, it didn't matter. You did whatever you had to do to sacrifice to get those presents under the tree.
Yeah.
So that's how everything was made right, so to speak.
Got it.
was the gifts. The more gifts you could give, the more that we could reconcile.
It sounds like a really authentic experience.
Yeah, right. Super authentic. And so I, growing up that way, as I became a father, Christmas time was just unbelievably pressure filled for me in order to come up with all these gifts and make sure that there were adequate gifts. And I mean, with six kids, you can imagine what it takes to get presents under the tree for that many people.
Absolutely.
And I had a lot of times because of my addiction where finances were not in a good place. And Christmas just became, I did not look forward to it. It was, oh my gosh, where am I going to come up with all these funds and right. And all the pressure and just trying to do whatever I could to maneuver things so that it was all perfect on Christmas Day, because that was what we did in my family, was the perfect
day.
And then of course the aftermath of Christmas, which is the credit card bill arriving in mid-January. Another triggering, let me go act out event.
When the holiday hangover?
Yes, the holiday hangover.
No, absolutely. It's a interesting time of year. And we know that for everyone listening, there are goods and bads. And hopefully you're going to walk away from these episodes with a little bit of insight and knowledge about how to navigate these a little better and to make these a little less painful. You know, when we talk about dealing with holiday triggers, there's a couple of pieces to that. And it is easier said than done, like many of the things that we talk about. But the first step really kind of leads into all the rest. And that is going to be just normalize them, right? Too often when it comes to triggers or the holidays in general, or you know, triggering environments, we oftentimes will fall into kind of an avoidance cycle with them, right? We move into denial, we shut down, and that doesn't mean necessarily even avoiding the event per se, but we'll emotionally kind of go offline, you know, numb out, tune out, whatever the case may be, to kind of get through. And triggers are much like with, you know, we oftentimes talk about relapses have a silver lining, not that we ever want to have them. Triggers do as well. They have a silver lining, because if we're willing to be able to practice, and this is a skill, it takes time, but practice being in the triggers, being in the pain, and not trying to shove it away or numb it out or push it away with anger or whatever. In other words, not letting our age-old ego defense mechanisms come up. If we're able to just sit with them for a moment, that opens the gateway into some other avenues for mitigating them next.
Yeah, because we get into this place, especially with the holidays, where you're not supposed to feel bad during the holidays, right?
Oh, isn't that so true?
Time for celebration. Everything's awesome.
It's not okay to be sad, right?
No. There's something horribly wrong with you. And so we oftentimes can try to push those down, numb them out, you know, ignore them, deny them, rationalize them. And that is a big setup for triggering, because they're going to build up and then they're going to look for a way to be soothed, to be medicated. Sure. And so, like you said, one of the biggest things we can do in the, you know, from a managing these triggers standpoint is just to normalize all of them. No good, no bad. They just are.
Yeah.
And as they come, if I can sit with them and feel them, and then I can ask myself, so what is this about? You know, why, what am I feeling? Give it a name. And why do I think I'm feeling it? and just go into this place where I can just step back and kind of look at it, break it down.
Absolutely.
I like to call that the what and why game. What am I feeling and why am I feeling it? And once you answered that question, then you usually get through another layer where you say, okay, and what is that about and why?
Yeah.
What is that about? And you just sort of work your way down through them. Hey, everybody. Mark and Steve here. Are you looking to take your recovery and your marriage to the next level?
We work with individuals and couples one-on-one.
With both in-person and online therapy options, you have access to the experts anytime, anywhere.
To learn more, visit us at pbscpodcast.com. For sure. Well, and I think a big part of this, as I'm thinking about it too, is recognizing where our thinking might be setting us up for failure right out the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've alluded to this a couple of times already, right? We all have this idea in our minds of like what the perfect Christmas is going to look like, right?
Yes.
We've all got in our minds, like we've watched way too many TV shows and movies, I'm sure, that all portray that, you know, a good quote unquote Christmas is one with, like you said, some humongous mountain of presents, nobody fights, everyone gets along great. I can't remember if there's anything triggering in it, but if you've ever watched that movie, so spoiler or disclaimer, but that movie Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase,
yeah.
One of the reasons why I like it is because it's kind of this parody on all the really tough stuff with Christmas. And oftentimes I think we go into the holiday season with this idea in our minds of like, hey, this is what this is supposed to be. And inevitably we get let down because there are so many factors with it that we can't control.
Yeah. Right?
So developing an idea of what that's going to look like for you and your family, realistically, given circumstances, I think is setting yourself up for success. That's a big one.
And the other problem with the expectations we come into the holiday season. So we spend a whole year with our family dynamics, our marriage dynamics. We're in certain habits and perhaps we're disconnected in a lot of ways. And now magically at the holidays, all of that is supposed to go away and everything is supposed to be awesome and wonderful.
Sure.
And the great challenge with that is when it's not, the devastation of that is even more severe because our hopes were all resting on the fact that this holiday season is going to bring everything back together. It's all going to be wonderful and amazing and awesome. And when it's not, the letdown can be really significant.
Yes.
And frankly, turn sometimes molehills into Everest.
Yes.
You know, from an emotional standpoint. So, yeah.
Well, I think so many of us too, you know, I think that this is where, speaking from my own experience and probably for many listening, this is where my codependency tends to ring out if I'm not careful, right? Because I find myself around when I'm with family, when I'm with close friends, it's easy if I'm not aware of it to really start to feel under the gun, right? Feel that pressure of like, oh, I've got to make this a good experience for everybody.
Yes.
Right. I've got to make this I can't ruffle feathers. I can't, you know, I just got to put on my part. I can't even tell you how many things I have done inauthentically during the holidays where I've said, well, I really feel this, but it's Christmas. Right. But it's Christmas. Do we really want to bring that up at Christmas? Like, do we really want to, you know? And so what do? We do that age old thing that Mark and I talk about never doing on here is we compromise authenticity as a way to maintain accord, right? And not to
because what is the infamous saying? You ruined Christmas.
Yes.
You ruined it.
I have heard that from some family members.
Well, and so as we talk about this, you know, getting into this place where it is a time to have connection with family, with friends, with each other, but also if we're going to have that connection, what have we often said in this podcast? Real connection happens with vulnerability. It happens
absolutely
with transparency and authenticity, which means whatever I'm feeling, I'm feeling. Whatever I'm going through is what I'm going through. And can I have the courage and feel safe enough to express that and bring to light whatever I'm feeling, to be authentic about it and to own my emotions and to let other people own their emotions. So yeah. What is the big taboo? Well, you can't possibly be sad at Christmas time. What's wrong? Yep. You know, what yeah. are you, Ebenezer Scrooge? I mean, what's you look down. How is that possible? It's Christmas.
Sure. Sure. How dare you experience pain during the holidays?
I know.
Yeah. Well, and I think that for many, this is going to be kind of an exercise, right? In terms of being able to experience and express triggers and move through them in a healthy way. And we are going to get into a lot of that family dynamic stuff from the holiday. I know that many of our listeners, including Mark and I, we've had some somewhat legendary experiences around family dynamics and managing the self-care and all that stuff. But yeah, if we keep sticking with these triggers here, right? Like Mark was indicating, right? Learning to let go of traditions. Now, I'm not telling you to throw out, we're not telling you to throw out all of your past traditions, because there's probably a lot of really good things that are done around the holidays. That being said, recognizing that for you, your marriage, if you're listening to this podcast, your relationship, either with yourself individually and or with your partner and possibly even family members, is undergoing a lot of repair and a lot of rapid flux. And there are, and when we're in that stage of repairing and building and renewing, there may not be some traditions for a variety of reasons, ranging from, you know, putting sobriety at risk to just emotional accord between you and your partner. There might be some traditions, no matter how long standing, that may not be compatible this year with healthy recovery.
Yeah. And the other thing to keep in mind is that you'll find, because of the nature of the holidays, because it's a time of strong emotions being elicited, right? Memories I have, expectations I have, all the stuff, the pressures that go on. You'll find that because you're in recovery and healing, you may find that there's things during the holidays that actually make that seemingly more difficult.
Yes.
Your emotions might increase in their intensity. You might find that you have less patience. You might just feel really raw during the holidays. And just recognizing that that's the case, you know, Steve and I really encourage you to come at that from a place of optimism and opportunity. Wow. Yes. We have a chance to use our tools and to really practice our healing and recovery skills during the holidays, because there's lots of chances to do it.
Yes.
And so looking at it that way, okay, this is going to put us to the test. This is really going to up our game, because the holidays are really intense, both from a positive and negative standpoint.
Oh, I so agree. And, you know, learning to kind of roll with the punches, so to speak, with recovery in the holidays is a skill.
Yes.
It does take time. And it, again, it there is a little bit of upending. I'll give you a quick example. My wife and I, when we've gone and done certain things in the holidays, one of the things that we learned in early recovery is that there are certain environments and certain people that are triggering to us, that were triggering to us, and that would elicit some negative, you know, kind of set us up for failure in terms of maintaining our own connection. And we didn't really have the skill sets at the time to manage those and navigate those more effectively. So one of the things that we chose to do for a while, and still may end up doing at times, is we would take separate cars to family gatherings, right?
Yeah.
The only thing worse than going up to a family gathering, a cabin up at the woods, 300 miles away from, you know, cell service and anything else, is being stuck there for a week because you don't have a way to get back from the cabin that's 300 miles away in the woods, away from everyone else.
Yes.
Doing things like that are inconvenient. But what I have found with my own recovery, and I know what Mark and I have found with our clients, is that doing things like that are not only helpful from a standpoint of actually having that in place, but it helps us to remember that, hey, this is a different year, right? Just like every other part of our relationship or our family dynamics and whatever, this is relationship 2.0, right? We're looking to evolve this into something better than it's been, keeping what's been helpful and good and learning how to lovingly cut out those things that aren't.
Yeah. So it's a time of knowing what boundaries are. It's a time to understand that we have limits. And so, as you said, you know, if you need to have an escape plan, you know what those limits are. Be more self-aware, pay more attention. You know, I would tell you that some of the they didn't seem like the best holidays at the time, but some of the most memorable holidays for my wife and I were some of the times in December where we had the greatest challenges and most difficulties. Yeah. There were times where we would just sit in each other's arms and just weep because stuff was so hard.
Yeah.
And now we look back and the bonding and welding nature of those experiences where we stuck together and we got through it is really, we remember those with some really deep heartfelt feelings.
Yeah.
Man, remember how tough that was in December of, you know, whatever year it was. Wow. Yeah. But we made it and we came out of it stronger and more bonded than ever.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, no trigger. And I have learned this through sad experience, too many of them, like my, you know, my cabin incident of what, 2015 or whatever. I've had too many experiences that have taught me a lesson that hopefully listeners can take, you know, and to heart a little bit more. If you do find yourself really pulled into these, to old ways of doing things, and there's a rigidity to either family dynamics or just the way it's always been done, really be asking yourself, you know, and walking yourself through, you know, is this tradition, is it worth disrupting the progress that we've made?
Yes.
Right. Is this thing really going to be worth either the cost or the potential exposure that it might give our relationship to some sort of weakness or vulnerability or whatever? You really, this new recovery process that each of us is cultivating, for many of you in particular, is kind of like this, you know, defenseless kind of newborn baby of sorts. It's like, you know, you're making a lot of progress with therapy and in your own personal recovery. Even though the holidays can be really helpful, one of the ways in which they are hurtful is they can just totally drag us backwards into old ways of thinking, doing all that.
Yeah. Yep. So we encourage you to try to let go of expectations and just keep talking, keep communicating, keep being raw and open and transparent. Don't allow the holidays to suddenly put all of those old skills and, you know, the skills and tools that you're developing about authenticity and transparency and vulnerability. Don't allow the holidays to suddenly put those on hold as if this is some special time where those don't apply.
Yes.
If there was ever a time to be more open and raw and real and keep communicating and expressing honestly, this is the time to do that.
Yeah, for sure. I would say a frequent, you know, we're going to talk more about self-care next week, but I would say one of the things definitely to work on this week is start putting into place some patterns now. Have some discussions about how can we keep communication open during this time? What should check-ins look like during this time, right? Yes. What actively talk about it, right, beforehand. You know, if we just look at, and we're just honest and we let go of egos and whatever, can we get honest with each other and look at, you know, right now, what elements of recovery may not be for us individually or together might not become, you know, compatible with what we have planned. Are there pieces to it that need to change, be adapted, have a backup plan for? If you can start doing that at the before you even get out the gate, it'll be helpful to have those things in place for the sake of having them in place, but it's going to increase and enhance safety in the relationship, because no matter what you do this holiday, yourself and your relationship should come first.
Exactly. So, yep, that's what comes first.
Okay.
All right. That's part one. Next week, we will do part two, where we'll talk about how not to get off the self-care rails. Ooh,
that's going to be a good one. I can't wait.
Okay.
Awesome, everybody. Have a great week.
Talk to you then. That's all for today. Thanks for joining us. And remember, the opposite of addiction isn't sobriety, it's connection. Together, we can do the impossible.
To learn more about Mark and Steve and to listen to more podcast episodes, visit us at pbscpodcast.com. Everything expressed on the PBSC podcast are the opinions of the hosts and the participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of an individual qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.